Well, thank you.
This week I was perusing through the scriptures and I fell across a couple of verses that talked about our souls being watered like a garden. And this got my interest in looking at water in scripture. Well, water is found all over the place. It's used for baptism. It's used for satisfying a thirst. It's used for cleansing. It's used for washing. All through scripture. But today, I want to look at, specifically, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. So let's look what the Bible has to say today about water. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? After righteousness." The Bible goes on to say that they shall be what? They shall be filled. You know, I thought about this. What was I going to name this sermon? I thought about it all week long. I just could not come up with something that was really good. Maybe you can help me out in the future. But the only thing that brought my attention was the Gatorade slogan, you know, quench your thirst. You know, Christ is the one that satisfies our soul, isn't it? He's the one that fills our cup to overflowing. Let's look at a few verses today that have to do with thirst. You know, when you get hungry, you eat. When you get thirsty, obviously, you drink. Sometimes it's what you drink that actually quenches the thirst, right? I don't know about you, but when I'm really thirsty on a hot day, the worst thing that you can drink that I've found is drinking a glass of soda or something. It's so loaded with sugar and all that stuff, it really doesn't satisfy your thirst. The thing that I've found that really satisfies the thirst is what? Is water, right? Your body's made out of so much water, right? What is it, 90% or 75%, whatever the percentage is. Your body needs water, not sugar and caffeine, amen? So when we drink, we need to drink the pure stuff. I wonder, as Christians, are we like this? Are our souls thirsting after righteousness? Do you find at times that your soul is empty? Do you find at times that you're hungry and just not satisfied? I wonder if it's because we're eating or drinking all the wrong things. Are we caught up in the entertainment world? Are we caught up in chasing after earthly things? Are we caught up in looking at earthly things? Are we trying to fill our pocketbooks with money? Are we trying to find relationships and friends and trying to satisfy ourselves in all the wrong ways when only Jesus can satisfy completely what? The soul. Well, if you've ever had baked potatoes, you will have at times eaten a baked potato after you've chewed that potato as much as you can and you take that swallow, times it gets stuck right here. Next thing you know, you're gasping for a little air and you're hoping that that potato ball will get down your throat. The first thing you reach for is something to drink to push it down there. Get a little drink of water to quench that thirst and to put that down in your system. You know, our souls are seeking after something better than what this world offers. Are you a type of person that is drinking maybe just the wrong thing? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's look at John chapter 4 together. John chapter 4 and verse 10. We're going to look today at the woman at the well. I know I've preached a sermon or shared a sermon about the woman at the well, but I want to look at some of these key verses again found in John chapter 4 and verse 10. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Here is the woman at the well. Let's go ahead and start with verse 9. John chapter 4 and verse 9. Jesus comes along as he's walking through ministering. He stops by a well. He sends his disciples off to go get some food and to help take care of the needs of the disciples. And he stops, and as he sees this woman, the woman said in verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So you know the story. Jesus comes up to this Samaritan woman. He appeals to her heart and says, "Give me something to drink." I don't know about you, but hiking and walking a long ways during the day, it was probably lunchtime, supper time, somewhere along there, because he sent his disciples to go get some food. during a mealtime, Jesus is seeking some water. And he comes to the Samaritan woman who has been a castaway, cast out from society, so to speak, from the Jewish population. Of course, they half-breeds they didn't have any dealings with. But Jesus, being a Jew, says to this woman, "Give me something to drink." And she asks the question, "You know, you're a Jew. Why are you asking me, a Samaritan, and not only a Samaritan, but a woman? You're asking me for something to drink." And Jesus says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you" what? "The living water." So Jesus talks to this woman and goes by her question or statement, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of" what? "The living water." Now notice this. As a woman usually does and helps the man out at times, they're very practical. Notice what she does here in verse 11. "The woman said unto him, 'Sir, you don't have anything to" what? "To draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water?" Here Jesus says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of me the living water and I would give it to you. And this woman surveys him, looks at him a little bit. He doesn't have a bucket in his hand. He doesn't have a rope in his hand. He doesn't have anything. And I know my wife is very practical, and she helps me to be practical. Sometimes it drives me crazy. But here's a lady looking at the circumstance. You don't even have a bucket to draw from. Where are you going to get this living water to offer to me? Well, Jesus goes on to say, or she goes on to say, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall" what? "Shall thirst again." Man, I love this verse. I believe Jesus is showing us a fine example of the worldly things. If we continue to drink from the world, we will do what? Thirst again. The thirst in the soul is never satisfied. Never is the soul satisfied when we search after the things of this world. Are you looking at entertainment? Are you looking to fill your pocketbook? I don't know, you know, what your circumstances are, where you are, the longing in the heart to be filled. And I've seen it with relationships, especially younger people, desiring to have a relationship. And they seek after a relationship, one after the other, one after the other. And that's the circumstance with this Samaritan woman at the well. She had many husbands. And Jesus told her, "Bring your husband." She says, "The one I don't have a husband." He says, "You have said, for this is your fifth or sixth husband." You know, people seek after relationship to satisfy that longing and that vacuum in the heart. And friends, we can do the same thing, not necessarily in relationship, but we can do the same by drinking not from the well that never runs dry, but we can be drinking from the well of the world. Are you finding yourself over and over again, "I'm thirsty"? Well, as the Bible goes on to say, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Doesn't that sound pretty good? If you drink of the water that Jesus gives you, the Bible encourages us, says that you will never thirst again. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into" what? "Everlasting life." Sounds a lot like Isaiah 58:11, doesn't it? A well-watered garden, right? It sounds refreshing to the soul. It sounds refreshing that if I drink from the water of Christ, I will be satisfied. Well, you know the rest of the story. Jesus tells this woman. The woman says, "Give me this water, and I will draw from it." Jesus says, "Well, then go call your husband." The woman said, I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "I know that you don't have a husband, for you have had many husbands." Boy, she was just astonished at what Jesus knew, for she had found, finally, the living water. Turn with me. I want you to see something in John chapter 19, verse 34. Turn with me to John chapter 19 and verse 34. John chapter 19, verse 34. In John chapter 19, verse 34, the Bible says, "But one of the soldiers," this is when Jesus was crucified, "one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side," Jesus' side, "and forthwith came there out," what? "Blood and" what? "Water." Wow, I thought about this for a minute. I said, wow, this is fabulous. This is awesome. And we look back in Scripture and I think about other times where God had fed or had watered the children of Israel. And the children of Israel were walking out in the wilderness. They were seeking and looking, and they found nothing. All they had was this manna, and God was taking provision of them, but they got discouraged, they got frustrated, and they began to complain, they began to argue with Moses and Aaron, and they said, "Have you yet brought us out of the land of Egypt so that we will die?" And of course, Moses, you know, he gets a little upset, and he says, "Have we come out here, you know? Do we need to satisfy your thirst again?" And God commanded Moses to tap the rock. And he smote the rock, and water comes out of the rock. And the children of Israel are satisfied with water. Wow. Walking around the desert, taking a hike, you're going to get thirsty. Friends, we live in a deserted world. We live in a world of the desert, so to speak. And friends, we need to be filled and satisfied with the living water. In Corinthians, the Bible says and talks about when God had fed the children of Israel or watered them through the rock, that rock was who? Christ. And we look in this verse here, found in John chapter 19, verse 34, when the soldiers had pierced the side of Jesus, blood and water came out of Christ. Friends, the source to find complete satisfaction, to satisfy your thirst ultimately, the source is who? Jesus Christ. You will never be completely satisfied as long as you're chasing the things of this world. Earthly goods, earthly things, earthly relationships. You will never be satisfied. Jesus said, "He who drinks of this well shall do what? Thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you shall never" what? "Never thirst." Boy, sounds pretty good, huh? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do you find at times in your life that your soul is just dry? That it's not satisfied? Are you finding ways to fill your cup to overflowing? Are you finding ways to satisfy that longing in your soul? Turn with me to Jeremiah 31 and verse 12. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. This is the verse that I stumbled across that got me thinking about water. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a" what? "Watered garden. And they shall not" what? "Sorrow any more" at what? "At all." What a wonderful assurance, a confidence, a promise that if we drink from the well of Christ, if we take that living water, we shall never thirst again. We shall never sorrow again. If we let God water our heart to fill us and to satisfy us, we will lack in nothing. As a little boy, I used to read, turn with me to Psalms 23, you know this. As a little boy, I remember reading this verse and having to memorize it. Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not" what? "Want." I used to think of it that, you know, that doesn't make any sense. The Lord's my shepherd, I don't want him? Why wouldn't I want the Lord as my shepherd? And of course, as I got older and thought about this, in Psalms 23, "It's not the Lord that I don't want, but if I have the Lord as my guide, if I have the Lord as my shepherd, I will lack in nothing." The soul will be satisfied. The heart will be satisfied. The mind will be satisfied. Notice what he goes to say in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup does run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. He says in verse 5, my cup runs over. You know what I found out? The big problem with Christianity today is that we have a serious I problem, just like the devil. You know, if I could ascend, if I could do this, if I could do this. And, you know, when our cups are half empty, we don't have much to offer, do we? I don't know if you're looking at half full or half empty, however you do. But when our cups aren't running over, we don't have too much to share to others. If you have something that's running over, you kind of want to catch some of it. You want to preserve some of it, and you want to offer to other people. Friends, is your soul, is your cup running over? Is your cup running over in your life? Is Christ the Lord of your life? Is Christ satisfying your soul today? When Christ is the Lord in the center of your life, your cup will run over. And when you allow Him to be the Lord of your life, you will want to share the goodness to others. He leads me by still waters. God is the one that sanctifies us. Water is a symbol of sanctification. Water is a symbol of cleansing. Water is a symbol of righteousness and so forth. If the water is in our life, our hearts will be sanctified. Our hearts will be made right. Our souls will be justified. We will be cleansed. And friends, when we taste of that goodness, when we taste of that pure water, we will want to share it with others. This recently I saw kind of a funny commercial. A husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever, they back up to the grocery store and they pack their SUV full of water to the hill. You know, all the way back, they close that door. There's no room for the boyfriend or the husband to sit and to get a ride home, so he crawls on top of the car, the SUV, and they're driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, and the wind's blowing through his hair. He's holding onto the roof of the car. And then the little excerpt says, there's a better way to stock up on a month's supply of water. You can get yourself a pure water filter and hook it up to your tap, and you can get that good water. Friends, there's a better way to satisfy your soul. A month's supply, so to speak. There's a better way, and that's spending time with Jesus on a regular basis. Drinking from the water, drinking from the source. You know, when you're down, I a lot of camping and backpacking I did in my years, and we buy these expensive water filters, you know, that pump water out. You can get Giardia out of there, you can get this bacteria out of there. But the awesome thing is, if you can get to the actual source, to that spring that's actually coming up out of the ground, you know that water's going to be pretty pure. It's when that water trickles down and gets through all the mountains. It's after the bears have bathed in the water and the deer have bathed in the water. You don't want to drink that water. But if you can get to the source, you know it's going to be pretty good. And so it is with us, friends. We cannot take the living water secondhand. We can't do it by listening to Doug Batchelor or hearing the preacher or doing it just secondhand in prayer meetings and Bible studies. Friends, we need to take of the living water for ourselves and let Jesus fill our cup to overflowing. Amen? In a time in which we live, we don't have time to be monkeying around with our lives. Jesus is going to come again. And the question is Jesus living in your heart? Are you satisfied? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Do you find your levels are getting low? And if they are you finding the source? And that's Christ. when that soldier pierced the side of Jesus and that water came out, it really encouraged me and made me realize that the source, the purest source of this living water, is to go straight to Jesus. To seek Christ in your prayers, to seek Christ in your life. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, driving down the road, Lord, bless me today. Before you get up out of bed, Lord, take my life today. Eating lunch, Lord, bless this food. And by the way, Lord, take my life just now. Friends, when our cup is running over, we will want to share to others. We will want to give to others and share to others that living water. Have you tasted of the living water lately? There is a lot of flavors of water out there. I do not like the Elmira Heights tap water. It does not taste good. So I go down to the local store and I get a filtered tap water. Tastes a little bit better at least. It's supposed to have this reverse osmosis. It tastes better to me. I can drink it. You know, where are you getting your source of water? In the entertainment world, it's not too good. Reading and watching it off certain books or just TV programs isn't always good. Are you getting the source, the pure source, from the heart of Jesus? If Jesus could stretch out his arms of love and die for you, if he could spill his blood for you, then Jesus can save you. So, friends, are you drinking of that water? I want to drink of that water. How about you? Well, would you mind standing with me this morning as we sing our closing hymn, number 456.